Part 2. It didn't take long for several ninth graders to snicker while pointing Eason's way. Wishing she was anywhere but school, Eason closed eyes, leaving her unable to see Wren leave the ninth grade line and scoot behind her. "Hi, I'm Wren, a new student. I guess wearing a backpack is a no-no," said Wren, aware no one else was wearing one. Slowly turning, Eason faintly replied, "Hi, I'm Eason." Wren was blunt. "You have a right to be bummed. The whole deal coming your way is a sham." Dejected, Eason put herself down. "Only dopes repeat a grade," she claimed. After running hands through hair, Wren clutched her backpack straps. "They're hoodwinking you. The school year do-over is for them, not you." Eason shrugged. Wren continued, "Blindsiding you while you're in line for the first day is so messed up. Yesterday, while you were in the restaurant's restroom, I overheard your foster mother's friend say you're a good person. Good people sometimes get treated unfairly," she assured before spotting the principal charging toward them. Mrs. Lith pounced. "Because I don't recognize you, I'm assuming you're the new girl, Wren Kalin. Am I right?" "Yes," answered Wren. "You're a ninth grader, which means you're in the wrong line," informed Mrs. Lith. Wren didn't budge. "I have an urgent request that involves Eason. Can we talk with you?" she politely asked. Mrs. Lith glanced at her wristwatch, then poked the girls in the back. "Both of you to my office," she ordered just before a loud bell started the school day. After telling Eason and Wren to sit in the chairs in front of her desk, Mrs. Lith sat rigid in her leather throne. "What's going on, Wren?" she asked with a frown. "I'd like to request a one-month trial run, during which Eason and I help each other as ninth graders," answered Wren, again gripping her backpack straps. Flustered by Wren's answer, Mrs. Lith turned to face Eason. "How long have you known each other, Eason?"
"We just met," anxiously answered Eason.
"You met while in line?" testily said the principal. "Yes," replied Eason. Not used to being challenged, Mrs. Lith narrowed eyes, then resumed grilling Wren. "I'm not sure what your problem is, Wren, but I'm sure we don't do trial runs at this school. Don't make me regret doing your grandmother a favor by letting you start today. While I don't want to be seen as pesky, I hope you'll reconsider," said Wren, as she casually lifted palms. "You see, my problem is, it seems a concern for letter grades and grade levels has been made more important than Eason's niceness," explained Wren. Annoyed, Mrs. Lith began tapping her finger. "Like other schools, we focus on advancing academic skills. Students learn about subjects such as math, science, and history that have withstood the test of time." Wren briefly looked out the window before speaking. "Why not make room for a subject that teaches
good ways for people to treat each other. We have rules for character building, noted the principal. Isn't exploring how to be kind and fair also an important subject? Posed Wren. Mrs. Lith checked her watch, then became impatient. Our chat is over. Remaining courteous, Wren repeated the request she'd already made. Please give Eason and me a month in the ninth grade to show we can help each other keep up. Mrs. Lith remained stern. We're done, she firmly declared. Do I need a pass? Asked Eason while standing. After Mrs. Lith handed each of the girls a pass, Eason quickly left the principal's office while Wren lingered at the door. Alone with Wren, the principal further expressed her displeasure. I'll be watching you, she warned with a scowl. Wren turned toward the principal. I hope the school doesn't take Eason's niceness from her, she replied before entering the hall, where she looked for a rear exit. Soon finding one, she strolled to and through it. After slogging her way to Lenny, who was in the midst of a lull in customers, Wren didn't make excuses. After I bungled trying to be helpful to another student, all I could think about was escape. I just got off the phone with the principal, said Lenny, halting her work on a pin. I'm guessing Mrs. Lith didn't say anything about Eason, a good-natured girl who was being treated unfairly, predicted Wren as she sat on the bench next to Lenny. She wasn't part of the principal's version, said Lenny. Getting on the wrong side of the school's principal isn't smart, is it? Admitted Wren. Mrs. Lith doesn't seem like a live-and-let-live kind of gal, agreed Lenny. Wren became worried. Do you think she's going to make trouble? After I mentioned we'd likely return to homeschooling, she said there were hoops we have to jump through, lickety-split. When I reminded her I was blind and without a working vehicle, I got silence rather than sympathy, informed Lenny. I'll be 16 and able to quit school in January. Why can't the school people leave us alone? Complained Wren. Lenny shook her head slowly. I guess we better get the RV running in case we have to disappear in a jiffy. Wren went to Lenny's display. While you sell here, I want to sell at a park I passed. Uncomfortable with Wren selling on her own, Lenny reluctantly agreed. Just the park, and stay in the open. Okay, assured Wren as she grabbed a large handful of pins. I can get home on my own. Before I get started, ring the principal so that I can tell her you're with me, said Lenny. After having no luck selling pins throughout the morning and early afternoon, Wren met with good fortune. A group of young mothers who entered the park together approached. After they heard that Wren's blind grandmother had designed the eye-catching pins, the mothers quickly purchased all but the one Wren was wearing. Anxious to tell Lenny of her success, Wren started from the park. But after walking only a short distance, she heard her name called out. Finding the voice familiar, she turned and saw Eason coming toward her. Can we talk? asked Eason. Sure, but please don't ruin my good mood by telling me Mrs. Lith made trouble for you, answered Wren.
Not for me, but what about you?
Asked Eason as they sat on the nearby bench. Mrs. Lith called my grandmother Lunny, the adult I live and travel with.
Lunny told the principal I'd be homeschooled, shared Wren.
Do you travel a lot? Asked Eason.
We chase mild weather so that we don't bake or freeze in the RV we live in.
Lunny says we're nomads nudging toward niceness on next to nothing.
How do you get money to live? Asked Eason.
We get by on Lunny's government check and by selling pins like the one I'm wearing. I just sold a bunch to some generous mothers.
It's pretty, complimented Eason, while bending to get a closer look at the pin Wren was wearing.
Would you like it? Offered Wren.
I don't have any money, answered Eason.
I'd like you to have it, said Wren as she removed the pin.
Thanks, gratefully said Eason, immediately attaching the brooch to her blouse.
Lunny made it, though she's blind.
Each one she turns out is a tiny work of art, noted Wren.
How does she tell the colors apart? Wondered Eason.
I put knots on one end of the gimp. One knot for red, two for blue, and so on.
We call them niceness pins. We hope wearing one reminds people to be nice, explained Wren.
If Lenny's blind, you must be the one driving the RV, assumed Eason.
Her blindness allowed me to get a hardship driver's license, said Wren.
You tangled with Mrs. Lith, and you drive an RV.
I wish I had your courage.
There's something I badly want to do, but I don't have the nerve, bemoaned Eason.
You have me curious, prodded Wren.
Comfortable with Wren, Eason divulged what was troubling her.
I want to steal an abused dog that lives across the street from me. I've called the police twice, but all they do is come by and chat with Bub's abusive owner, Mr. Shaper.
Anyway, even if I did steal Bub, I don't have a place to bring him.
You want to rescue, not steal the dog. That's how to think about it, suggested Wren.
One thing is for sure, I'm afraid of Mr. Shaper. He always looks angry.
Just seeing him in his yard makes my heart race, shared Eason.
Wren perked up. You need a nudge from someone itching to do a big-time kindness.
Is Bub outside at night?
No, he's only outside during the day when the Shapers are at work, answered Eason.
So, Bob's outside and alone right now.
Let's go, said Wren as she sprang to her feet.
You mean go get Bub right now? Exclaimed Eason, clutching shins.
I'll strut on and off the property as if I'd been given the task of taking Bub for a walk, planned Wren.
But where will we take Bub? Asked Eason, while also rising.
I'll hide him in the RV for now, answered Wren.
Eason paused to fill her lungs. Then, after exhaling heartily, she made her own daring announcement.
I'd like to strut with you.
Are you sure? Asked Wren as they began the trek to Shaper's house. I'm suddenly also itching to do a big-time kindness, answered Eason, sensing a boost in self-esteem was possible. Okay, we'll strut together. There's a market up ahead where we can buy a leash and some dog biscuits, said Wren. After exiting the store, Wren tucked the leash in a rear pocket and put the bag of biscuits in her backpack. How much farther is it? She asked. It's the next left, answered Eason. Soon next to a large elm tree, across the street from Shaper's house, Eason became nervous. I doubt a neighbor will report us, but I can't be sure, she warned. Wren heard the tremble in Eason's voice. I've been pushy. It's okay to change your mind, she assured. How do you keep your nerve? Asked Eason. I remember that when I let trying to be kind or fair matter most, Wrenville is a respectable and serene place to be. But what works for me may not work for you. If you'd like to wait here, that's okay with me. Eason paused to take another deep breath, then gave the green light. I'm ready. While surveying Shaper's property, Wren altered their plan. Now that I see the situation, I'm not so nervy. I think we should approach from the far side of the backyard. We'll squeeze through the row of bushes close to the doghouse. Once they'd crept around a home the next street over, the girls knelt behind the shrubs close to Bub. Give me the leash and a biscuit, requested Eason. Once Wren did so, Eason took a shoulder-bobbing breath, then thrust through the shrubs and called the dog while holding out the food. Here, Bub! Here, boy! As soon as Bub hurried to the treat, Eason replaced the rope attached to his collar with the leash. Then, just as she was about to take Bub from his prison, Eason saw exactly what she didn't want to see. Mr. Shaper's shiny black pickup come into view. Able to bring Bub to the other side of the shrubs before the truck turned into the driveway, she alerted Wren. Mr. Shaper just got home. Let's scoot. After scampering to a wooded lot four houses down, they paused behind a large pine. I'm tired of being afraid, said Eason as she handed the leash to Wren, then shared a decision that took gumption. Mr. Shaper's likely searching for Bub. So I'm going back to try to send him in the wrong direction. If I succeed, you should have the time you need to get to your RV. When you climb over the mound up ahead, you'll be facing Valley Road. Turn right on it, and you'll soon see the RV park, she explained while pointing in the direction of a knoll. Facing Shaper is very brave, Eason, said Wren as she took a pen and a piece of paper from the front pouch of her backpack, then wrote down Lunny's phone number and handed the paper to Eason. Please call as soon as you can. If I'm not there, tell Lunny about the rescue and how things went for you. Okay, said Eason as she knelt to hug Bub, then rose to embrace Wren. It didn't take long for Eason to spot Shaper's truck headed her way. While watching him roll down his window as he came to a stop, she gave herself a pep talk. You can do this, she told herself as she rubbed wet palms on thighs. "Have you seen a brown lab running loose?" gruffly inquired Shaper as Eason approached.
Eason came to a halt.
"Yes, I saw him dart down Mill Road," she fibbed, hoping her jitters didn't make him suspicious. Finding it easy to be intimidating, Shaper glared into Eason's eyes for a long few seconds before ramming his gear shift in reverse. Unaware he'd been misled, he turned his pickup around, then headed farther away from Wren and Bub. Once the truck faded from sight, Eason hurried home.
"I did it," she happily declared.
Eventually making her way back to the RV, Wren announced her arrival.
"It's me. I brought a doggy friend called Bub," she called out as she tossed her backpack on the driver's seat while looking Lunny's way.
Eason called. "After relaying what the two of you have been up to, she asked me to let you know that after sending Mr. Shaper on a wild goose chase, Easonville was a respectable and serene place to be," informed Lunny. Happy to hear what Eason had said, Wren smiled.
"Thanks for the good news. You'll be hearing me feed Bub," noted Wren, while pulling the bag of biscuits from her backpack as Bub sniffed his way to Lunny.
"How was your afternoon?" she asked, mindful she should have checked with Lunny before bringing Bub home.
Lunny answered while petting Bub.
"Oh, just peachy. Mrs. Lith called back to tell me she felt she had to call the truant officer."
"Shortly after that, a police officer stopped by to let me know the town considers us to be panhandlers who don't qualify for a peddler's permit, which means we get a hefty fine the next time we're caught selling pins.
Topping things off, my granddaughter brought home a dog she and a friend rescued from an abusive owner who's hunting the dog down."
"I guess I got carried away again," confessed Wren as she fed Bub.
Though Lunny was concerned, her tone was gentle.
"Given what Eason told me about Mr. Shaper, I'd say Bub urgently needs something we urgently need. A fresh start." After flopping onto her bunk, Wren tried to be humorous.
"It seems the three of us have a percolating, pesky predicament."
"That's an entertaining way to describe our situation, Wren. Here's a not-so-amusing reminder. The money to fix the RV won't be in my account until next Monday."
"We'll find a way to get by," assured Wren.
"I have about $15 for meals. How much do you have?" asked Lunny. Wren hesitantly answered.
"I sold all the pins I took, but I spent some of the money on a leash and dog food."
After a long sigh, Lunny expressed admiration.
"You made niceness important, Wren."
Having wolfed down the huge bowl of food Wren had given him, Bub poked at her backpack in search of a second helping. Lifting her sack to give Bub more food, let Wren spot a folded paper with Lunny's name on it.
"It looks like somebody put a note for you on the driver's seat while we were out today."
"Please read it out loud,"
requested Lunny.
"Okay," said Wren as she put her sack on a shelf,
then opened the paper and read what follows out loud. "While rummaging, I happened upon an alternator and a battery, which I put in the RV to pay you back. Thanks for the badly needed loan. It's from Noki." A family of three headed west out of town. Just as they were about to cross the town's border, something caught Wren's eye.
"There's a reminder of Noki up ahead. It's a place called the Rummage Remedy. It looks like a big junkyard."
"Pull in, Wren," said Lunny as she reached into her sack for a niceness pin.
As soon as Wren came to a stop, Lunny rolled down her window and called out,
"Hello!"
"How can I help you, ma'am?" asked a worker in overalls as he exited a cinder block building with a high fence extending from its sides.
"I'm looking for Noki," answered Lunny.
"Noki usually shows up unexpected, but he'll be back tomorrow to work off what he owes me for an alternator and a battery. I'm guessing it's your RV he worked on," said the fellow.
"Yes," answered Lunny.
"Because he borrowed a tool that got him into your RV, I figure his intention was to surprise you. If you're still having a problem, I'd like to help. I bought this place when a personal tragedy nosedived Noki into bankruptcy and homelessness," informed the fellow.
"Everything is working fine. Because we have to leave town in a hurry, we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd thank him for us," asked Lunny.
"Sure," said the fellow. "One last thing. Please give him this pin. Tell him the RV gals said he's as fit as anyone to wear it," requested Lunny as she handed the man the pin.
"Okay," said the fellow while reaching for the gimp flower. Once again, headed down the highway with Bub between her and Lunny, Wren was cheerful.
"Three nomads nudging toward niceness on next to nothing. Sounds like the ideal job description to me," she announced.
"To me too," said Lunny as she turned her head toward their new companion. "Do you agree, Bub?"
"Ruff! Ruff!"
quickly replied Bub before licking Lenny on the cheek, prompting her to hug him. The end.